Llamas are bigger than alpacas?
Whoa. That just blew my mind.
Hi, everybody. Let's see if we're live here. I want to make sure we're live before I call up the legend, Chuck Dixon. Be being the legend and the bad bat. That's actually probably a better title. But it's too late now for me to change my title. Just to let you guys know, Chuck Dixon is a legend. All right, this is his bio. He's a veteran comic book writer with thousands of titles to his name, including a record run on Batman at DC Comics, where he co-created the villain Bane. I was born in darkness. You merely adapted to it. And seminal work on Marvel's The Punisher. He adapted J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit into one of the most successful graphic novels in publication. So when Vox calls him the legend Chuck Dixon, he's not messing around. So I'm going to give him a ring right now. Since my video doesn't work on Skype while I'm simultaneously doing OBS. And hey, I know you probably got a million solutions. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to give him a call right now, and then we're going to talk about Batman. Hang on 1 second.
Hey.
The legend Chuck Dixon. How are you, man?
Well, thank you. I'm very well. Very well. How about you?
I'm doing really good, man. We're live, and a lot of people are really excited to talk to you. You know, when Vox Day calls someone a legend, they're a legend because Vox, as we both know, Vox is a snob. So
yes, he is. As he explained to me, his problems with you and wine.
Yeah, someone was trying to give him crap about being friends with a guy who has pine gum spirits, also known as turpentine, for certain ailments. And he was like, I've been disgusted with Owen since he drank beer. He's a lovable snob. So when Vox goes on and on about how legendary somebody is, I know it's legit. So thanks for doing the stream.
Sure. No, I'm looking forward to it.
So, yeah, tell me about creating Bane, man. You probably get that a lot when you talk to people on streams or whatever, but he's one of my favorite archetypal characters, and you were one of the guys that made it happen. So let me know what that process was like, and also what Bane is to you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we did this event in the Batman comics. It was like a 2-year event in all of the Batman comics, and Batman gets his back broken and he's put out of action. So yeah. Bruce Wayne is no longer Batman. But we needed a guy to do that. And we needed somebody, you know, we didn't want some thug off the street or it happened by accident.
Right.
So we created, you know, we needed this new villain. And I made such a fuss about how hard it is to create a popular character. I mean, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Right.
And I said, this guy's got to be popular. He's got to click with the audience. So this whole freaking 2-year thing is not going to work.
Yeah.
And my editor, Denny O'Neill, said, well, if you think it's going to be so damn hard, you do it. So he sent me home to create Bane, and
wow.
took a little bit of Man in the Iron Mask and a more tortured version of Batman's own origin, you know, childhood trauma.
Dude, and, that's the origin of a lot of stuff we're seeing these days, man. So that's one reason why I think that character hits home so much. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, and we knew he had to be addicted to this venom, this drug that he pumps into the back of his head. That was a given. We also knew he had to be the intellectual and physical equal of Batman. So all of those things were baked in. I talked with my artist, Graham Nolan, and thought, well, you know, what if this guy was serving time, a life sentence for a crime his father committed? He's born in prison.
Yeah.
And what if this sentence was on a Caribbean island? And Graham said, well, if he's going to be a Latino character, let's go for a luchadora look.
Right.
Mexican wrestler look, and you know the rest is history. It kind of worked itself out on its own after that.
Sins of the father.
Yeah, definitely. Well, North Korea, they do that. They put you in prison for things your parents did.
Yeah. Wow, man. And the Bane line from the movie, you adapted to darkness. I was born in it. You know, that that fascinating character trait where someone can take their childhood trauma and make it like an antidote for something that they're facing at the moment, where what other people have to learn to do. They're like, oh no, I was born in this. I can swim in this conflict. You know, I'm a fish in this ocean, you know, and to see that is pretty, it gives you the chills, you know, because Bane, there's a little, the thing that makes these characters so amazing is there's a little Bane, a little Joker, a little Batman and everybody, you know?
Yeah, well, if you've ever been around people that have had real childhood trauma and there's some kind of an emergency and everybody's panicking and losing their head, they're the one person going, ah, this is another Saturday night for me.
Yeah, yeah. No. You mean me in this quarantine? Yeah, like everybody's yeah, exactly. Spiraling. Everybody's like, oh, no, what do we do? I'm like, the same thing we do every day. This is my welcome to just a typical Friday in my life, you know?
Yeah, seriously, I'm locked away making shit up all the time anyway. So.
Same here, man. Dude, I got this little like homestead going and people are like, well, what are you going to do if they close the grocery stores? I'm like, what is this grocery store you speak of? And so that, and that's the Bane, you know? And wow, man. And then is the drug he's addicted to, is that, do you think that there's any parallels with that and like the opium crisis that has been the bane of so many civilizations?
Well, no, the venom drug, which is like a super steroid, like a human growth hormone kind of thing, that acts instantly. It had been around in the DC universe for like a year or more. And we just sort of added it to him because every villain needs a flaw. And that is Bane's flaw. He's addicted to, you know, being huge and monstrous. And of course, the drug has an effect on his mind as well.
Yeah, because in the movie, I know I'm referencing the movie a lot, but that's the most fresh in my mind.
That's what made him a household name. That's how most people know him. So
yeah, I don't know if like actual literary creators like yourself, if that bothers you, where it's like, well, if you actually read the comic books, but anyway, you know, the unwashed masses like myself know Bane from the movie, but when they said something about taking his mask off and he was like, that would be very painful. And that's when I thought that it had a sort of opiate effect as well as a growth effect where it gives him his super strength, but without it, it's almost like watching these celebrities not get their attention, where they look like they're in pain. You know, if you watch Ellen live streaming and all this and Justin Timberlake, they're in the verge of tears at all times because their mask has been removed.
well, in the movie, oddly, they decided that the drug he was addicted to was a painkiller, and that's not what venom is. Venom is it's a steroid. He's juicing.
Right. Oh, so they did kind of tweak the original intention of that, because your version is much more, because that's one thing that now that you bring that up, it doesn't make great logical sense that someone on an opioid could be that jacked and intense, you know, like it should be human growth hormone.
He was a chess player. He was on his game. He was two steps ahead of Batman the whole way. And most junkies, I don't think, can do that, no matter how high functioning they are.
No, they're just listening to Lou Reed and just staring. You know, it's like if Bane was really on an opiate, he would just be like, ah, sweet Jane. You know, it's like, just a perfect day. And Batman would be like, what are you going to do? And he's like, dude, I'm chasing the dragon, bro. Shut up.
And if you ever wanted to find him, he'd find him in the candy aisle at 7-Eleven at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Just leave me alone, man. It's interesting that every superhero or every character needs a flaw, because that's what makes it whole, you know, because if there isn't that flaw, you don't really connect to it. What's Batman's flaw, in your opinion?
I think that, you know, at his heart, he's kind of an oblivious prick.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I don't even like Batman. I like Bane. Dude, I'm like, in the movie, by the end, I was rooting for Bane. Like, I was like, Batman, you're ruining it. Because Bane was motivated Bane was motivated by a deep injustice from the sins of his father and the love of innocence, that girl that he freed from the pit. And Batman just wants to, you know, buy off the police department and play with his toys and blow stuff up and not be accountable for anything.
Yeah, I have a problem with a lot of these superhero movies and that they give the villains such evocative motivations that a lot of time you're rooting for the villain because you're like, oh, this poor guy's hurting.
Yeah, same with the Joker. You know, like the Joker's like, yeah, that money is based in a debt-based Federal Reserve economy. Like, burn it. That's fascinating, man.
Yeah, my favorite is Black Panther. The villain in Black Panther had more right to be Black Panther than Black Panther did. His story was actually more engrossing and more sympathetic than the lead characters. I was seriously rooting for the villain in that movie.
He even won
the fight with Black Panther to become Black Panther.
I didn't watch the movie because I only relate to white actors.
Well, you spared yourself, man, because that movie is boring from beginning to end.
Well, I was just so appalled by their marketing campaign to make it seem like races only relate to each other. When I had a Michael Jordan poster on my wall as a kid, I was like, and so I was actually trolling some of these guys before I got kicked off Twitter, like Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle completely bought because he bid it. Like, I did a thing where I was like, I watched the trailer for Black Panther, no white characters. Who am I supposed to relate to? Pass. Just mocking the campaign of like, finally a movie by us, for us. And they believed it. They're like, oh, but Don Cheadle with his checkmark was like, but don't you think it's time for black people to have their own? I'm like, dude, so you don't even realize I'm being sarcastic? Whoa. And so then I knew the whole thing was ridiculous and I just bailed on the whole thing.
Yeah, well, and they promoted it as the first black superhero. Meteor Man, Mantis, Blade. I mean, I could go on all day, of black superheroes that have had TV shows or movies. So,
yeah,
you know.
And who cares? It's just, it doesn't
even.
And
who cares?
Exactly.
Ultimately, yeah, you're right. Who
it's
cares?
Like, how come there's no Armenian superhero? And I'm like, well, you got werewolves. Nah, I'm just kidding. But it's like, you know, this whole thing of like, finally a movie for us, by us, it's been a complete trap. And now we're seeing the comic industry really implode outside of what, you know, you and Vox are doing because they went a little too woke and now they're not even allowed to have comic book stores. Like, do you want to comment on what's happening right now with all that?
Well, I mean, you mean as relates to the virus or?
Well, just
the wokeness.
Yeah, the wokeness. Let's talk about the wokeness, how now it's like, you know, the Batman's going to be like a trans woman or something. I don't even follow, but it's just so absurd at this point.
Well, what they did is they, for whatever reason, I don't know why, they chased everybody away who was actually good at doing comic books.
Right.
And they brought in a bunch of people from like the music industry and children's book publishing and places like that. And these, I call these people tourists because they're not dedicated comic book people. Comic book people, once you get into comics, you're in comics for life because you wanted to be there. I do comic books because it's what I always wanted to do. I'm never leaving. And these people, it's a resume enhancer. So when they go to apply for their job at MTV, they'll have Marvel Comics on their resume and it'll be really cool. And that's all it means to them. And so, while they're at Marvel and while they're at DC, they're doing their best to just rip the place apart because they don't care if it's there tomorrow.
Oh, no. Like, someone like you could go up to one of these people and say, I was born in the comic book industry. You've merely adopted to it. You know, because
it's true. It's more true than you know.
No, I know, because I'm a comedian. It's not the comic book industry, but the comic industry. And same thing happened to us where it was dedicated club comics like myself who really loved it and loved the craft of figuring out what the resonance was to make people laugh. They just brought in busloads of these people that just wanted a sitcom based around them. So they would do just like what you said. They were tourists. They would get their set ready so that the executives would say, oh, we can put a sitcom around that guy and push some sort of political agenda through him. And they were never funny. And then the crowd started thinking, oh, this is what comedians are. This is what stand-up is. And they stopped going. And I held the line from the beginning. And that's why I'm not in the position they're in. Like, I already know how to perform in airport hangars and live stream next to my alpacas. They have a lot of learning to do. And if you don't love it, you're not going to survive this time, you know?
No, I learned that a long time ago that, you know, if your intention was in comics to be famous, which right. You know, Stan Lee is the only famous comic book guy, and most people don't even know what he did. And, and if you'd be famous or to sit at conventions signing autographs or whatever, or impress the guys down at the comic shop, well, you're in it for the wrong reason. You have to be in it, you know, because you enjoy sitting alone in a room making stuff up.
Exactly. And you won't survive the downtimes either. You know, it's that's why a lot of life is fair. It's just a test of, do you really love it? You know, it's like you don't marry a woman just for like the sexuality of it. You have to also really love being around her. And you'll see that when she's 8 months pregnant and hungry and ornery. You know what I'm saying? and it's the same with and when you still want to hold her hand and be there with her. It's the same thing with the comic industry. It's the same with everything. It's like, how much do you really love it? And now we're seeing this big pullback, whether it's from the virus scare or just the industry itself. And there will be people remaining, the ones that were always there. And that's why I'm not worried about this time, because I've seen a great opportunity for growth and revealing, you know, of who really can be a fictioneer like yourself, you know?
Well, the comic medium will always survive. It's been around forever, and it'll always be here.
Exactly.
You know, Marvel and DC may get, you know, sold off or auctioned or whatever, but you know, comics are always going to be here because there's more people creating comics now than ever before, and all different kinds. I mean, there's practically a comic book for every taste. You know, if you like comics. Problem is, most of the American public doesn't like comics. That's a basic problem, and the big publishers have done nothing to change their mind.
Before we keep going, will you let people know where they can pick up stuff that you and Vox have been doing, just to make sure that we hit that before we keep talking about awesome stuff?
Well, there's probably a website for Vox I'm supposed to mention, but I don't know what it is. So you can go on Amazon, and I'm doing a book called Avalon for him. It's a super thing in his alt hero universe. I'm also doing old hero Q, which is kind of my slob hero, James Bond.
And we're
working on a couple other things I'm probably not supposed to talk about yet. But Vox would keep me busy 24/7 if he could.
Yeah. Castelia House is his website. Yeah, Vox loves your ability of just cranking out high quality stuff. He was telling me that that some people can work fast, others can work good. You're one of the only people he's seen that can work fast and good. You know, so as a legend myself, I appreciate being around another one.
I mean, you know, if it's in your DNA, it's easy. It's not work.
Exactly. It's kind of like, if you're a musician or how we're effortlessly speaking English right now, you know, it's like, if you feel the characters and understand it and love it, other people can be really blown away by a skill that, you know, I can tell you're a modest guy, and when I call you a legend, you want to be like, dude, what I do isn't that crazy, you know, but to others it is, because they don't understand the love and the character development and understanding the archetypal truth in it, you know, and so what you do is very, very good for people.
Well, I think, you know, as per what you were saying earlier, you know, when you're genuine about something, when you love what you're doing, it translates to the audience. I mean, your audience knows you're digging what you're doing. And my audience, I hope, gets a feeling of genuineness that I'm really earnest about what I do.
Oh, someone just said Arkhaven Comics is where you get the comics. Yeah. And your story about Bane makes me laugh, because how funny would it be if they were like, well, Batman has to break his back. And you're like, okay, I have this great character, the sins of the father. And someone's like, no, we're going to go with an Uber accident. And they just, because that's the type of stuff they're doing now with Star Wars, where they're just keeping all the stakes, all the vibration, all of it so bland and just nothing that no one can feel anything, the plot, you know?
Yeah, it's because they don't feel it themselves.
You know,
you've really got to invest yourself in this stuff. I mean, I used to write children's books before I did comic books, and I remember sitting writing a Raggedy Ann and Andy story with tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
Because you really got to make yourself part of the story, or, you know, it's not going to translate to the reader, and that's what's going on now. This stuff, like you said, it's all dry, antiseptic, boring, preachy, just, you know, and poorly crafted. And who would want to buy it? Nobody. They have an audience they wish would buy it, you know, hipsters who wear hats too small who live below 14th Street in Manhattan, but they don't buy comics.
No, they just pretend.
They might pose with a comic, but like, you know, they don't read it.
Like, they can take an Instagram selfie at the store and they don't even have to buy anything. Yeah, my mom taught children's literature for almost 40 years, and I think that's one thing that's really helped me deal with life's ups and downs is the, you know, Tolkien, Lewis, the Darkest Rising series, the myths. Yep. It's like these characters that transmit truth to children. And just like in children's books, the comedian has to boil down to the most simple thing so that they can transmit a story. And when you can do that, a lot of times you can see through the nonsense of life, you know?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, comics and comedy and horror, they all reveal truths about us.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes we don't realize how much they reveal, you know, like what the writer didn't even intentionally show, you know, or what they were tuned into, you know?
Yeah, I'm always amazed when I do like appearances and people come up and tell me how much the comics meant to them, that they got them through a rough part of their life. And I don't even think about that when I'm writing. I mean, I'm thinking about an imaginary, precocious 10-year-old when I write, you know, but not actual people. But, you know, it's amazing to hear people say, you know, that what I did affected them.
Well, yeah, and here's the irony. If you did it to affect them, it wouldn't affect them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. If I was working too hard.
Or well, yeah,
if I was
no, if your
doing
intention,
it in a mechanical way.
Right, you know? If your intention was to make people do something that you want in a hidden way, it doesn't. Because I get the same thing when people come up to me and they're like, you helped me do all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm a comic. And then I realized what it was a while ago. It's simply that we aren't trying to do anything to them. We're just trying to give them the most authentic slice of ourselves and story that we can. And we're not thinking about like, oh, this is going to really make someone vote for Hillary or, you know, whatever these people are doing. You know, it's like it's so easy to feel the falseness to it. And that's, you know, someone said something recently that evil is the vacant, the emptiness that allows, you know, people to manipulate and use you. It's the lack of soul, the lack of substance. And so if you just simply have a story to say or you care about what you're doing, it radiates out in a very beautiful way.
No, it's true. It's true. And, you know, it's hard to say, you know, why that happens or how that happens. But, you know, luckily for me, it's happened a lot. So I have an audience.
Oh, yeah. You're a legend. Someone, Bookbindery Bear, made me a Tolkien book that was in Latin. And so giant swaths of the book would be down to like one sentence that would say like, you know, Gandalf blew smoke rings and left. And so it made me think, like, how did you translate these giant books into these comic books? Like, how do you take something that large and make it so boiled down into just a comic book series? What
are we talking about? Tolkien?
Yeah.
Yeah. I only did The Hobbit.
Right.
I didn't do the others. Yeah, it was tough. And it was tougher because my editor wanted as much Tolkien text in as possible. And I spent all this time sweating and boiling it down to its essence and trying not to miss anything. But I had to leave out some of my I had to leave out Bjorn because there was simply no room. And he's my favorite character.
Yeah.
And then the editor went in and added all of this text. You know, he sort of like blew what I was trying to do. You know, I was letting the artist tell more of the story. But yeah, it was tough. It was tough. I must have read that book 16 times. I still loved it.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it was tough, but you know, worth it because it's my biggest seller worldwide.
What do you see in The Hobbit that you see around now? Like these archetypal characters of Gollum and you know, like, what do you think the hobbits knew or did that allowed them to stay away from the residents of evil more than other people or, you know, beings in that realm? Like, someone who's read it 16 times, I wouldn't even know what question to ask you, but do you have any insights into it that you could tell the people?
Well, I think the hobbits just wanted to be left alone.
Right.
You know, and obviously they were like you and me during the pandemic. They were happy with the life they had already. They didn't want anything else. They didn't want anything from the outside world.
Yeah.
which obviously made them the perfect candidates to transport the ring in the end, because they didn't want anything.
Right.
You know, they were the only ones that didn't see the, you know, except for its, you know, the proximity of it being seductive. You know, they didn't want to improve their lives any more than they had been improved. And so you kind of compare it to, you know, liberals and conservatives. Conservatives just want to be left alone to live their lives. They don't want to tell anybody else what to do.
Yeah.
And that, liberals, that's all they want to do all day long is tell everybody else what to do.
Right. That's why I can see so much on who someone is based on some of their stances with wedge issues. Like the people that are anti-gun, I used to think they just didn't understand guns, but now I understand it's because in their mind, they're like, well, if you get a gun, you're obviously going to use it to make people do stuff. And I'm like, that didn't even enter my mind, you know? And this is one of the big divides in people is one person, it's like, we have to get rid of guns. And the other people are being like, what is wrong with you? And I just want to interpret the two sides and be like, if those people get guns, they're going to use it to like make people do stuff. And these other people, they see guns as self-protection for if other people want to make them do stuff. And so
absolutely, yeah, because and, I mean, if they want to put socialism on us, it's going to take coercion,
right?
And if we have guns, that job's going to be a lot harder.
Exactly. And to make, and how they view farmers and self-sustaining type people as idiots and all that. And now I understand it. It's like, oh, it's because when enough people have just a few chickens or a garden, it's a lot harder to turn the screws on socialism and say, you know, if you want your precious lollipops from the store, you're going to have to accept this. And I'm like, I'm good. I'm literally barefoot like a hobbit as we speak. I remember when I was telling this story last night. I remember when my mom was reading me The Hobbit when I was a little kid. And my first reaction to The Ring is I was like, why does everyone want The Ring? I don't even want to be invisible. And my mom laughed, and she was just like, well, those are the type of people that should be carrying the ring. And I'm like, but why would anyone even want to carry the ring? Like, who wants to be invisible? I just want to crush with my buddies. And I think that's a fundamental difference between people. Some people, you know, they covet and they envy and they have wrath and all that, and that's why they get so freaked out by freedom. And other people are like, just leave me alone. I'm in the Shire crushing.
Yeah, I think most people want to just be left alone.
I agree with you.
That one squeaky, noisy minority that makes all the trouble for everybody else.
100%. And archetypally, where do you see Bane right now in the world around us, and where do you see Batman?
I don't know. That's a tough question because I never really relate these characters to the real world.
Right.
You know, I get comic professionals and fans get angry with me when I say, you know, these are basically children's characters, you know.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to exist in any kind of real world. They're utterly wish fulfillment fantasies. And I get in a lot of trouble for that.
But I'm starting to see a lot of adults living out wish fulfillment child fantasies, and I don't know what it is. I know we talked about trauma early on, but I think some of the programming and some of the stuff they do to kids at schools and stuff like that, I think it almost keeps people, children and then later adults, in this low vibratory child wish fulfillment state. And that's why I think we see a lot of these, you know, diaper wearing hipsters running around trying to be something they're not authentically, you know.
Yeah. You got, you know, this, you know, you can be anything.
Right.
No, you can't be anything.
No.
You know, I can't be a concert violinist.
Right.
I had no interest, talent. You know, I got gorilla fingers. There's no freaking way that's ever going to happen.
Right.
I mean, I'm glad that we, number one, that my wife homeschooled. I had no part in it. She homeschooled our two kids. And that when they were kids, they played a lot with Korean kids.
Awesome. Koreans are
because
based.
They learned a different set of values. They learned an American set of values from these Korean kids.
Right. Koreans have a good diet. The kimchi, that keeps a lot of disease away.
Yeah, well, I'll take your word for it. I can't handle it. My youngest son, I think that's all he eats.
Kimchi?
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's some good stuff. It keeps your gut real healthy, and it keeps a lot of parasites away and stuff. You know, ever since all this, disease fear and all this has been floating around. I've just been dialing into how to stay as healthy as possible. And I've stumbled upon some interesting stuff like, raw milk and purified water and getting some being outside in the sunshine and stuff like that. It's all, you know, it's all very helpful.
Yeah, you should talk to my wife. She's the dietitian of the family. She's got us on the vicious cycle diet.
What's that?
It's like no grains.
Nice.
I don't know. She just puts it down in front of me and I eat it. You know, it's like when I'm in the shower and she hands me stuff. Put this on your face. Put this on your hair.
Dude, your wife sounds awesome. She sounds awesome.
She is. She is an awesome lady.
Yeah, and like when you're married to a legend like Chuck Dixon or myself, the best thing is like the woman's the legend of everything grounded, and then it allows people like us to like dream up new characters or, you know, start an alpaca farm because we have wives that are just like, eat this, drink this, don't touch this, the kids are doing this, and we're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And meanwhile, we're just like weeping, writing children's books. It's a great combination.
It is. I mean, my wife, she often tells me growing up, she thought she would be the wife of a minister. She ended up the wife of a writer. And she said, there's really not that much difference.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. All right. Do you have any other stories you want to tell the people about the comic world or anything that I wouldn't know what to ask? You know?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a wide ranging deal.
Let me narrow it down a little bit. Do you think comic book fans, this is what I think, and I'll ask you what you think. I think that hardcore original comic book fans are typically good people because it requires imagination and to fill in the blanks yourself. So I think it does draw a type of person that has that composer, real living human being vibe versus the people that require every hole filled and all the CGI and all the stuff. I think there's something really beautiful about well-done comic books that allows the person to create in their mind and fill in the blanks. So when you've met comic fans, have they had insights or storylines that they've put between these pages that you thought was interesting that you had never thought of?
Well, I mean, that's a really sharp observation because when you read comics, you do have to fill in a lot. I fondly remember comic stories I read when I was a kid. And when I go back to reread them, find out, my God, only 25% of what I remember is actually here in the comic. I created all this other stuff in my head over the years around it. Unfortunately, comic fans are really, really shy. And when I meet them in public or at an appearance, they're really reticent to ask any kind of deep probing questions. And I know they have them, but they're like afraid to ask. You know, very rarely do I have like an extended conversation with a fan at an appearance. And I enjoy them. I look forward to them.
Yeah.
But very rarely people just come up, you know, how much do you charge for an autograph? Which I don't charge anything.
Right.
And then they sort of stare at me like a zoo animal while I sign the comic.
That would be an interesting thing if you're so emotionally connected to these comics, and then you see the person that made it. That's got to be an intense experience, I bet. You know, they're probably just watching your face.
My end of it, yeah. I mean, I've babbled like an idiot in front of comic book creators that I idolized. So I understand why it happens.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can, because this is what it would be like for me is if I saw somebody that I was so connected to their internal world, when you get to see their external world, which is their face and everything, you probably are just staring at it, looking for little glimmers of roots of characters and stuff like that. And some people probably just shut down. I'm like you, I would babble. Like when I first hung out with Vince Vaughn, I was a babbling maniac, but fortunately he out-babbled me. So then we developed a good balance. Cause I would start babbling. He's like, baby, I'll stop you right there. We're gonna do a whole thing together. And I'm like, finally someone can out-babble me.
Yeah, I met Harvey Kurtzman once, the guy who created Mad Magazine.
Yeah.
And I just could not make intelligible words. He was very gracious. I don't think I said one thing that made sense. Joe Biden currently makes more sense than I was making that day.
Yeah, don't you think he's got dementia? I'm not even following politics anymore because Biden, he reminds me of someone that's like, you know, months away from needing help with, you know, buttoning his shirt and stuff, to the point where I'm like, what is this that we're watching? You ever get that feeling where you're like, is he a sacrificial lamb at this point, or is the machine so corrupted that there's no way to stop, you know, stop someone like him from rising? I can't make heads or tails of it, but that guy, like, to call him a gaffe machine is, like, nothing he says makes any sense, you know?
Well, I mean, the man has had two brain aneurysms, and you don't ever come back 100% from them. Even if he comes back 85%, and I don't think he has, you know, you're never going to be who you were before. Even your personality is going to be different. This poor bastard, they just shoved him out on stage, and they won't let him leave for whatever reason. I think, you know, the money, you know, whatever. And then, you know, they're damning the voters every day. Like, oh, my God, this isn't what we wanted, but the freaking voters put this guy up.
Yeah. It could be just a very low turnout for Democrats. Yeah, because I know Democrats that they're not insane. It's not like the liberal. Like, I know some Democrats that are into they're just union guys. They don't care about anything else. And those right. Even those guys are like, who is this dude? You know, they can't even be coerced by their unions into voting. I just don't know what this whole machine has done. But either way, I'm just watching Biden and I'm just like, is this the result of just decades, if not centuries, of corruption? Or is this some kind of joke? Yeah, I just don't understand it, you know?
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, I didn't think the Democrats were this utterly clueless. But I just think that, for the most part, the world isn't run by grownups anymore.
Right.
You know, they say, well, the elite runs the world. Well, we need a much better elite than we have because they're kind of dumb.
Yeah, my new thing is it's like someone who's elite is someone who just is living a life with their own intention. You know, I don't give them that status anymore, the elite. And I've hobnobbed with enough rich people to know that a lot of people aren't missing anything. I know empowered wealthy people that are awesome. It's not that being rich makes you bad, but I know a lot of people. I've done shows and stuff for some of the real billionaire controllers of the world and hung out with them after, and a lot of them act very childlike. And I try to express that to people. Like, you're not missing anything. You want, what you want out of life is a wife that homeschools and gives you stuff in the shower to rub on your face.
That's all you need.
Dude, it is. There's someone asked in the chat, what's your favorite comic book movies? Like, what do you think is the best representation of the story that has been put in a movie?
I like the first Iron Man movie a whole lot.
Yeah, me too.
And I like the two Ant-Man movies.
I didn't see those. As a tall person, I felt mocked. Anyway, go on.
But they were so close to the core material of the comics. And the best comic book movies stick to the core material from the comics because, you know, that core material must work since it's been around for 70 years.
Right.
You know, people must respond. And the further they get, and I see the Marvel Universe doing this, and DC's always done this, the further they get from that initial creator's vision, the worse the product is at the end.
Yeah, do you see...
And then they're making up stuff on their own, and that's not going to work.
Right. Do you see that as a real plague that's happening now? Like, because if you look at mythology and children's books and a lot of stuff, there are certain elements of story that make a story good. And just like with fusion jazz, as a classical piano player, I despise it. They just think they can make everything atonal and it's still going to be good because they want this ability of creating their own harmonies, but it's not. They can't. And so when you watch them butcher these storylines where it's like, who's to say we need a hero and a, you know, a villain and, you know, arcs and all that. It's like, why can't we just sit around and braid each other's hair? And you're like, because it sucks and you can't change reality, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when I meet writers and they say, well, I prefer writing character over plot. I said, well, that just means you're lazy.
Yeah.
Plot is heavy lifting. Plot is story. You have to write stories. Characters are important. But we learn about the characters through what they do, not by exploring their childhood or having them have a conversation with somebody. We want to see them doing things, and that means story. And I've got no time for those kind of, you know, I've met mystery writers who go, well, I write character more than plot. You're a mystery writer. You're supposed to write a whodunit. You can't do that.
Dude, mystery is all plot.
They're it like, is. No, it's we're entirely really
exploring.
100%
plot. We're really exploring the nature. There's no whodunit. There isn't even a murder in this mystery. It's like, who needs a murder for a mystery? We have a fleshed out character named Safe Space. It's truly absurd.
Safe Space, and he's got a dog, and his upstairs neighbor is gay, and yeah, that's all we need.
Like, let's take the Punisher. You wrote a lot of the Punisher story arcs. What? Tell us about what the Punisher is. Like, what's his weakness and what is his strength? And just kind of fill us in on what the Punisher is.
Well, I love the Punisher. Punisher is my favorite character to write.
Me too.
I mean, I think of Punisher stories to this day, and I don't get paid to do it. And I don't do that with any other character. Right. I see stuff in the news. I go, wow, I wish I was writing the Punisher. I put it right in the middle of that shit.
Yeah.
So the Punisher is Batman grown up. The Punisher's trauma comes from when he was an adult. So he acted like an adult. I had the Joker psychoanalyze the two. I had the two characters meet in a one-shot special, Batman and Punisher. And the Joker psychoanalyzes Frank Castle and Bruce Wayne to a T, where, you know, Batman reacts as a child would react. He's running around in a costume. He's got a cave. He's got toys.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
the Punisher reacts like an adult would. Just totally pissed off, totally focused, all the negative male qualities coming out, and lots of guns.
Yeah.
You know, and so because the Punisher is a grown-up Batman, he's even more of a prick than Batman is, and he's not apologetic about it at all.
Right,
he is just a total prick. Yeah. I mean, Mike Barron wrote a story where Punisher basically, you know, he was the Punisher writer before me, and I work in his shadow. He wrote a story where Punisher basically just abuses every single one of his friends, everybody that's been loyal to him. He just abuses them all in this one story.
Yeah.
Because they won't do what he wants. And that's who he is. He's a prick. I love him.
No, that's so fascinating that he's the adult Batman. Like, Batman's like, I don't need guns. I have Robin and we're in tights. It's like, I don't need guns. I'm like MacGyver. The Punisher would just be like, boom, boom, boom. He's like, oh, I should have had guns. Like that, like if Bane was trying to give that monologue where it's like, now is not the time for fear. That could just boom, boom, boom. Oh, no. You shot me in the mask. Yeah, the Punisher. But his Achilles is probably his wrath, right? Where he feels like he gets to make all the almost like he's playing God and gets to decide who lives or dies is definitely an Achilles heel, but also very gratifying just to see someone do anything. You know,
well, his real Achilles heel, and he's rare in that his Achilles heel leads to his best stories, is his impatience.
Right.
he's not, you know how the FBI will sit on a guy for 5 years, you know, working their way up the chain. You know, Punisher doesn't do that. He kills the first guy he meets. And then it turns out that guy is somebody's favorite nephew and everybody comes after him,
right.
Which is fine with him because now he doesn't have to go looking for them. They're looking for him.
Yeah. So is he comfortable with his own death? Is that what gives him part of his fearlessness? Like he lost what matters to him, so he has that kind of like horrifyingly strong look of the man that's accepted his own death.
Yeah, I think, you know, people say, well, Punisher has a death wish. I think it's simpler than that. He just doesn't give a shit.
That's what
he
I'm
just
saying.
Doesn't care anymore, you know, and he's just gonna, you know, take that pain he felt and make others feel it. But he's not a sadist. He just wants to end their lives.
Right, right. So, he gives them mercy, not comfort.
Right, right. Yeah, he's never been a sadistic character, and I've had to correct more than one editor on that.
Yeah, mercy is a fast death. Comfort is a slow death. It's kind of a, you know, sarcastic way of putting it, but it's like that's definitely something interesting to look at, is whether or not somebody enjoys the pain or they are just simply trying to make evil go away. And
right.
The enjoyment of pain, I can never connect to those characters, even if it's the enjoyment of pain with evil people, because I think there's an intimacy when you, it's almost like the upside down shadow of sexuality, where there's an intimacy when you torture someone to death that I think connects you to their evil, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's what makes it so freaking creepy.
Yeah. That's why the Punisher is just like, there's a little John Wick in him, you know, where there's the, did you ever watch John Wick?
Yeah, yeah.
Where there's that culminating, as an adult, someone kills his dog, he doesn't have anything, you know, his wife is dead, and so he just enacts revenge in any way he can, but he doesn't enjoy their suffering, but it's just, you know, it's just the punishment, and that's...
And like Frank Castle, he creates all of his own problems. You know, exactly. By doing what he did in the first movie, he's made everybody in the world an enemy.
Yeah, if he had simply just started a GoFundMe page and been a little more, you know, just a little more patient.
For the dog.
Yeah, if he had just started a shadow corporation, he could have slowly bought the entire building and made everyone an employee and taken their pensions. And that's you know. That's awesome, man. The stuff you're doing with Vox, are you enjoying making those characters and all that?
Oh, yeah, because it's, you know, he's pretty much let me loose in a corner of his superhero universe. And because it's all new stuff, I can do anything I want with them. Yeah. You know, when you work with Batman or the Punisher, you're in a framework. You're a steward of those characters. You can't change everything about them or make them go, well, you know, if you're an SJW, you can, but I can't. Right. I'm too conscientious. I know the fans want to see them iconic the way they want to see them. So you're working within a framework, which I like. I like that, you know, because it's challenging to make interesting stories in a universe where nothing can really change.
Totally.
But in the old hero universe and with Avalon, I can change whatever I want to change. I mean, I put both of my superheroes in prison. You know, and it looks like they're going to stay there.
Wow. What was that all about? What made you want to do that? And what happens in prison?
Well, they, you know, it's like a superhero team. It's this guy, King Ace and Phaser. And they're kind of a Batman and Robin, but they're buddies. They're the same age. They kind of hang out together. They don't make any money being superheroes, so they have to actually have day jobs.
Yeah, there's no creepy age difference like Batman and Robin.
No. They're just buddies. They're just like two guys that couldn't afford an apartment on their own.
Right.
And you know, one guy works at the gym, the other guy works at a deli, you know. And the one guy's really into being a superhero, you know, good, and you never do wrong, and you're moral. He's a real Boy Scout. And the other one can't resist dipping his fingers into some of the money that they confiscate.
Right.
And so the goody two shoes hero turns his buddy into the cops and goes to prison. And then the goody two shoes hero ends up in the same cell with them because he gets recruited by the UN and he doesn't like how they do business either. So he ends up in prison as well.
That's awesome. And what do they learn about in prison?
You keep your back to the wall, basically.
Right. Yeah, things are. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's what I always. One of the Achilles heels of Batman, the childlike demeanor that is he seems like a goody two shoes, but he really isn't. It's like he really doesn't seem to care about justice. He cares about feeling good with his toys because he doesn't. You know, he seems like he's avoiding the reality of justice, of doing what has to be done. Like, it's almost like the Punisher does everything that Batman refuses to do. Batman just wants to feel better, you know?
Well, that's why the Punisher has no rogues gallery, you know? There's no villains because he killed them all.
Yeah, man, that's hysterical.
It's like, name your favorite Punisher villains. Jigsaw. That's it. There's no top 10.
Right. Just kills all of them. That's so funny, dude. I never even thought about that. Batman, he just dances with these dudes for a long time.
Yeah, I did a whole graphic novel called Devil's Advocate in which the Joker is sentenced to death for a murder. Batman finds out he didn't commit that murder and does everything he can to get Joker off of death row while every single person he knows is going, why are you doing this? Just let him go to the electric chair. Who the hell cares?
Yeah.
But yeah. Batman's got to, you know, he's got to be the Boy Scout. He's got to, you know, because... That's, I kind of think it's because, well, I didn't take him down. The cops took him down.
Yeah, and it's like, then who am I supposed to live action role play with in Gotham? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, exactly. Yeah, it's a weird, it's a weird setup.
Dude, it kind of blew my mind when I realized that Gotham in Old English means goat pen.
Yeah, I heard that recently.
Yeah, it's like, that's pretty mind-blowing, where it's like, that's where they pen the goats, and then you have these archetypal storylines acting out through all the goats. And sometimes I look around and I'm like, is everything Gotham?
Yeah, because I heard recently that New York City was called Gotham as an insult. Because, you know, it's a goat pen.
Oh, it totally is, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, that's true.
Oh, dude, they can drop a few. You know, if you really rewatch some of, you know, I can't remember if it was Dark Knight or the one with Bane, but you can just drop a few bridges and that thing's a goat pen. Like, that's not hard to do that, you know?
Yeah. We had a long storyline in the comics called No Man's Land where we dealt with that, where Gotham becomes isolated from the rest of the country. And it turns into a zoo.
Yeah, what happens? Because I think we might be facing that very soon. So what happens?
I wasn't in on the end of that one. That was toward my end. I did a few stories in that arc, but I forget how it ends. But, yeah, like Poison Ivy takes over the park and, you know, Bane takes over everything else, and, you know.
Dude, it's sometimes I enjoy seeing Bane happy. Is that weird?
No, he's an all-around guy, you know. He likes the ladies, you know. He likes to play games, you know.
Yeah, and he's wearing a medical mask way before everyone else did.
Right, sure.
It's like no one paid attention until I wore the medical mask. Dude, this has been a pleasure, man. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but
I enjoyed this. This was fun.
Dude, we got to do it more often. Talk about archetypal character development. Because, dude, I'm so excited watching you and Vox work together and how you're taking up where people are sabotaging. And that's what the world needs more of, is people saying, all right, comics suck now. So are we just going to complain all the time on Twitter, or are we going to create new comics? And you're such a great, you know, comic writer, and Vox understands empowering people that are good at what they do. And I'm so excited to see what you guys keep coming up with and how, you know, you're filling in where, you know, all these giant corporations are having SJW cancer, you know?
Yeah, well, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to save comics, and there's a few of us out there trying to do it. And Vox has been the one, man, he's just been cranking out product to an amazing degree. I mean, it's like we got started yesterday and we've got, like, you know, dozens and dozens of comics out there.
Oh yeah, his level of productivity is so high that when he doesn't call for a few days, I usually get excited that he's just created something huge and awesome.
Yeah, it's true. And that's usually the case. He comes on, I got this whole new medium we can work in.
Oh yeah, wow. He's just like, I just invented a workaround for ballistic missiles. Well, the legend Chuck Dixon, you can where can people find your stuff, get what you and Vox are up to? Where's the best place? Arkhaven Comics.
It's Arkhaven Comics. I have a chuckdixon.net. You can find me on Facebook, and you can always look for me on Amazon.
All right, my friend, this has been great, and thanks for hopping on, and just keep on crushing.
All right, man, and let's do this again.
Let's do it. All right, peace, brother.
All right.
The legendary Chuck Dixon, ladies and gentlemen, that was a blast. That guy is awesome. And he's also at unauthorized.tv. I forgot to plug the very website that I'm also on with him. That's hilarious. So also unauthorized.tv. Bane was an early adopter. Exactly. Chuck was an awesome one. Oh, yeah. Well, he's also very tall, guys. I like what Owen brings out in others. Why, thank you, Barometer. And let me show you something really funny about Trump. Trump, oh, and it may sound trivial, but it's not. Tucker Carlson is tall. Trump judges people by their height. Just to let you know, I'm pretty sure that Trump got that from me. You know, I don't want to, and, you know, tall people, there's something about us. I don't know what else to tell you. Great interview, thanks. Chuck is the man. Yeah, he's the man. And you can just feel that he has an awesome family, that his wife gets it. You know, it's like when you have a wife that's like, all right, we're going to homeschool, you eat this, I'm going to make your diet good. It allows maniacs like me and Chuck and Vox, Vox also has an unbelievable wife, to just go off into the ether and create. And so let me open a little mail and then, you know, we'll call it a day. Oh, sorry, I picked this up in Wuhan, China, this hat. Shout out to who made this one. Let me show you some stuff real quick, some funny stuff. Daywalker Bear made this. He photoshopped me in this hat at photo evidence of Owen picking up his rice hat and bat soup lunch in Wuhan, China. This picture was taken a few months back during the height of the pandemic there. So I've been caught red-handed. Hey, Wikipedia, please add this part to what you say about me. That there's photographic evidence that Owen Benjamin got a hat in Wuhan, China as he was eating a raw bat several months ago. All right. Which one's this? Oh, someone else made this. It's wicked funny. Owen's face once he's identified as Squirt Boy in the live stream chat. So true. Stop squirting. This is funny. I don't know who this is. Probably Babylon B. Researchers delay coronavirus vaccine until they figure out how to make it cause autism. Very funny. And you know how yesterday I was talking about fire hosing people? Well, with just even more synchronicities. By the way, I'm starting to really enjoy the urban Amish. They don't give an F. They don't give an F. These are my favorite type of hats. The people I'm about to show you. They don't care. They just want to grow sideburns and wear Amish hats. Dude, watch this. Don't care. Like, can you stop doing the horn? He's standing right there talking to you. The reason I love that is because they're not causing a problem. They're just like, can you give us 20 minutes? Because they had like a birthday party or something. The reason I enjoy these type of hats, they're my favorite type by far, they're called the Urban Amish, is they're not causing a problem. They're just simply not acknowledging the authority. They're like, ugh. Like they're, and so here's a shot in Israel of them unleashing the fire hoses on the Urban Amish. The Urban Amish, not only do they not care, they see it as a very inexpensive way to take a shower. Here it goes. Here goes the Urban Amish.
Whoa! I got that! Oh, my God.
There you go.
Oh,
oh! Taking out more Urban Amish. Spraying them down. Spraying them down. All right. The Urban Amish were like, you got to be kidding me. A free shower? The only people I respect that ever do stuff like that, like I don't, you know, there's people that are like, we got to march. Not my game. That's not my playbook. When people are like, we're not going to step unless we stand up and do it. No, that's still the only people that I find doing anything good if they're going against quarantine orders are the ones that just simply don't acknowledge that authority. They're just like, hey, can 20 minutes? Is that going to kill you? Because that's the reality of the situation. It's not about going against the cops or going against the government. It's about just simply being like, well, this guy wants us to go inside. 20 minutes. That's a heck of a squirt. Yeah. A free dude. It's like I found that very cathartic. But then I realized those are, in my opinion, they're the best Jews. In my opinion. Anti-Semitic water cannon. No, but it was done by other... See, this is when you just have to let it go. You'll never get to the bottom of how this all works. Guys, that was in Israel. So one group of Jews is spraying down another group. So where's the anti-Semitism? Is it over here? Or is it... Just let it go. I was just highlighting that because we were just talking about spraying people with with fire hoses. Now it's just a big old squirt. The Urbanometer, they're great. The best way to be is those people genuinely don't, they give authority only to God, but they're not causing problems. They're like, hey, come on, 20 minutes, it's a funeral. Hey. And the cops are like, we're trying to keep you safe. And they're like, come on, we got to get the can, we got to move the body and come. That's eating their own. No. It's way different than that. Because the concept of Jew is completely corrupted and weaponized as a shield for crimes. I don't care. I don't want to get into it anymore. Exactly. God is our authority. Right. But when you say that, you still follow the authority of man unless it affects, like, your burial rituals. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty easy to understand when you see it. But if you're like, these people have no right to tell me what to do, so I'm going to flip out and go freak out like the Punisher. No. You have to follow the law. You deal with the laws of man. You deal with them. You know, just in general, follow them unless they're like, you can no longer bury your people according to your tradition. You know, at that point, you're like, let's work out a deal. Because those people genuinely don't see the police as their authority. They see them as something to deal with. And you can see it in their face. They're like, ugh. We'll go inside after Ira's in the ground. And they're like, you must go inside now. And they're like, can some of us will go inside then, Ira? And that's great. 20 minutes will turn to 30 minutes. Yeah, but don't root against them in that scenario. That scenario is absurd. You can't have a funeral. Guys, come on. You can't have a funeral. You really think it's for your own protection? The government's here. The government is here to save you. The government was born in darkness. You merely adapted to it. I'm jealous of your sunshine, Big Bear. Oh, yeah, sit out in the sunshine. Sit out in the sunshine, man. Come on, man. It's not about causing a disturbance. It's about enjoying the spring. You know, if you want to go march around like gay guys, like homos, you know, freedom, pride. No. I haven't changed one thing of what I've been doing every day, which is sitting outside and enjoying God's glory on this Good Friday. Love the happy bee, but you should soak up the sun. I've been after this stream, I will be working outside the rest of the day, guys. If you don't understand the purpose of the little 5G tower I have on my head right now, a Chinaman's nipple, you don't get it. You don't work outside enough. All right, they were using the water hose to separate church and state. Urban Amish owns at urban outlets and malls for the bike thief. Only way is to find the full season on torn. I don't know what you mean. Owen of House Bad, friend to the Jew. Well, I just like people who do what they believe. I'm friend to anybody that isn't trying to grabble me. That's it. It's so easy to understand me. That's why when people freak out about like, oh, Owen just promoted or Owen, I'm like, he's friends with the pagan. I'm like, well, that guy's never lied to me. And you do. Squirt boy. That's the way it should be working outdoors. Yes. Can you deal, be at, let us have our funeral or we'll have yours. No, it's too intense. Those cops are still your countrymen, guys. Those aren't your enemies. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Start trusting the Bible a little bit. Principalities of darkness. If you want to march on the city hall, you will go there and realize it's just more people like you in the city hall. It's just more of your countrymen. The devil wants to create the evil of this world, some of which come through us in our parasites and our gut, in my opinion. They want us to eat each other and say evil to the other. Like, I'm a corona denier. It's like, so they it requires us to do it to ourselves. And it requires us to be like, yeah, you take that, Urban Amish. You take our squirt. BB, I've seen these yids washing. Man. What do we got here? I wanted to hear that. I want to hear what that person was saying. It sounded amazing.
Where is it? If someone starts with yids, I'm going to read it. The UN hats haven't been sent out yet. Save your green tips. Relax. Don't fantasize about guns or you're literally gay. Save them, boys. Those are the people that won't do anything, by the way. Every single one of these people, they're like, save your green tips, boys. The tanks haven't deployed. I'm in a chat room. Guys, I've seen so much gamma behavior that I will warn you from a mile away. Do you want to know which one's a coward? Happy Good Friday, everybody. Yeah, exactly. Happy Good Friday. Enjoy God's earth. It's so beautiful that it's stunning. I think the good thing was something about washing dishes in the Hudson. I like those guys. Yeah, sometimes they stink and they dress like Gargamel. A yid lid is very small. Splash party. All right, let me read some mail. How dare you? The birds have been singing lately like never before. Yeah, it's one of the best springs I've ever seen. All right. Oh, thank you for that gravel for my babble. Very appreciative. Owen and Amy and the boys. Oakland in the house. Great. It's a black person. But I want to play the Punisher. Yeah, did anyone just not listen to the conversation we just had? It's a child's archetype. Granted, it's fascinating, but the people in their head like, the UN tanks haven't deployed yet, boys. Save them green tips. I know you're probably already using them, but you should save them. What are they doing that for? They're building up to a squirt. Want to know the best way to rebel against evil? Be grateful and joyous on this spectacular Easter weekend. You know? Joy, gratitude. It's mind-blowingly awesome. Like, I've had so much energy and, like, just vibes from this spring lately that it's been amazing. No, only God can kill you. Only God can save you. Only God can kill you. Only God can save you. And that's it, dude. Know that in your heart. Know that. I really admire people who scoff at power. Much of the... I don't know what that means. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they're not mad at him either. My favorite part of that video wasn't... They weren't like, get out of here, police! Throw your high tops at the police! They were just like, 20 minutes? Because that cop ain't your enemy, man. It ain't your enemy. All right. That cop is just like, great. The Gargamel Amish here, the Gargamel Jews are, they're not dispersing. If those guys start throwing stuff at the cops are then justified in attacking them. Do you understand? The only thing you can do if you're resisting something is simply not acknowledging their authority. If you're scared and mad and you're fantasizing about all this nonsense that you see in comic books, you already lost. All right. Oakland in the house. Great. My bike has been found. This letter is a long time coming. Been with you since Saranac Lake when I heard of your trans kid stance and have been with you since. I'm a 51-year-old proud bike owner. 4 bikes. Oh, good to hear. A swimmer completed at World Champ Ironman in Kona. I work out. Hang on. My proud bike owner, X. And I don't know, handwriting. Ironman Kona works out 2.5 hours daily and lives and sells real estate in the People's Republic of Oakland, 22 Rogan's tall. Oh, that's who you are. Great. I want to give you a heartfelt thank you for making me laugh out loud daily. You and Norm McDonald are the only two, so you are in fine company. Also helping me on my own journey to finding God, grace, and forgiveness, your insights are always food for thought. And the value of unfiltered voice is priceless. Lastly, watching your family and homestead flourish has been an inspiration even to this old lump of coal like myself. My gal and I have 3 chickens, 2 pit bulls, 1 useless cat, and a growing garden. The goal is to eventually move out of Cali, find a larger property for more animals and food. I wish you and all the bears a life full of crushing. Enjoy the tip, piano man. And if you could play the night they took old Dixie down by the band, thank you. Enjoy Iron Man Bear. Thank you, Iron Man Bear. That was awesome. What a wonderful letter. And by the way, my new goal is to help educate people understand, not with my expertise, like someone like Wrangler Star has infinitely more expertise on this, or there's a bunch of channels, but how you can maximize a small amount of land for an incredible amount of food production. Every bit of food that I get here is from 3 total acres. I have a few more acres that are wilderness. It's a giant ravine. I did a head count yesterday. One second. All right, so just my fruit, just our fruit and nut trees and berries, 12 cherry trees, 2 hazelnut, 5 olive trees, 11 apple trees, 7 grapefruit, 7 peach, 9 fig, 2 apricot, 3 almond, 6 plum, 19 pear trees, I like partridges, 2 nectarine, 8 kiwi vines, 20 blueberry bushes, mixed and assorted other berries, 20 grapevines, lemons, wild blackberries, 16 milking goats, 4 pregnant alpaca, no, 3 pregnant alpacas, 1 non-pregnant alpaca, 2 pregnant bunnies, 1 stud bunny, 100 chickens, 50 meat, 50 laying. Okay, we also have a child's play area, you know, area for me and my wife, great, you know, for hanging. That's under 3 acres. And it must be nice, so expensive. I've been putting a lot of my resources towards all this, but if you're smart and you can get like saplings and stuff from other people, it's all about delayed gratification. Some of these trees won't give me anything this year or next year, but some will, and it'll just keep growing. And so, yeah, David the Good, exactly. Check out David the Good on unauthorized.tv. So if you have a network and a community, my rule for everybody is know 10 people within 10 miles of you. And 80% of your thoughts should be growing, building, appreciation. 20% should be identifying snakes, grabbers, goblins, etc. So, and a Batman and a bear tree. Yeah. You never have to go to the store. Well, not we still do now, but eventually no. And we give away a lot of our eggs, and it's great. Guys, that's under 3 acres. So when people say, must be nice, you know, I got to get 100 acres. I can't afford 100 acres. It's like, dude, you can't... I would have no ability of managing 100 acres. That sounds crazy. All right. And but bear in mind, this place is also so dark in the winter and damp that it's crazy. I'm growing from cuttings. Great. It'll just take a while. But just, guys, build. If you are building towards a future, you feel different. Your vibration literally changes. If you're building towards the future, you don't think about... You don't obsess about the past or like stresses or anything. If you plant a tree that you won't be able to get fruit from for 5 years, something in your heart shifts and you know that you'll be here in 5 years. I'm serious. 10 years before a standard apple tree produces fruit? Not true. I planted some this past year that were already giving us fruit. But in your, you know, in your gay little mind, that's true. All right, Owen. God bless you and your family. You have helped me immensely over the past year and a half with issues that I've been dealing with for more than a decade now. It's such a relief to hear you something with truth. This PSYOP is insanity. Porn is the virus that has infected humanity, and they dare not mention it, lest they expose themselves. Right, exactly. You know, a lot of the very people that are responsible for what's happening right now, they just don't want to admit what they're doing. 19 hijackers. That number 19. God, do I seriously have 19 pear trees? Come on! That 19, all right, it's fine. The numbers are not, the number, it's his numbers. It's just a number. Love your piano work. Bike Thief with Gematria is brilliant. Thank you. Beautiful loved ones, you're in your home. Stay well and strong. God bless, Scott. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. 3 acres in a yurt, dude. 3 acres can feed 100. 3 acres can feed 100. Granted, people are going to be skinny and probably a little bitchy. I can't feed 100 right now. We're not even off grid yet with food and stuff. We still go to the store. But I'm still a baby with this stuff. A baby. I can see how 3 acres can feed 100 people. Oh, some seeds right here. Nice. Thank you. Oh, seeds. My son was born on the 19th. He loves that number. My brother's birthday is the 19th. Yeah, I know. There's nothing wrong with numbers. There's nothing wrong with numbers. Numbers have the intention that you put on them. But right now, the 19 is being integrated into black magic spell work. But we don't have to acknowledge that, do we? Take back what is ours, not the grabbling gematria worshipers. Exactly. You have to re-empower yourself. 10 friends within 10 miles. 80% of your thoughts and actions, positive. 20% moonlight. Look at the decay. Plant trees that won't bear fruit for 5 years. It'll help your soul immensely. Feed 10 easily on one. There you go. All right. Owen, grower of seeds. As always, I love watching it all grow. Though I am a bear, I'll remain anonymous. If you toss out the 4 seeds enclosed, then I understand. But if you plant them, they're fantastic. 2 dark seeds are male. 2 light seeds are female. Anyhow, keep crushing. Thanks. I get the vibe that that may be a certain plant. But I'm curious. Numerology is a spiral for most. Yeah, don't engage in it. It's a calling card for a lot of black magicians, but just don't. I shouldn't have engaged in it. That was my bad. I gave it a little bit of power. It's all good. We're all growing. I'm positive 19 isn't one of the racist numbers. Yes. Hi again, sir. When you shared your father's cruel remarks to you when you were young, I immediately thought of a Johnny Cash, another musician. His older brother was killed in a sawing accident when he was 12, and his father told Johnny he wished it was him who... Traumatized as his dad might have been, that extreme hateful remark haunted Johnny for decades, maybe his whole life. Don't let that happen to you. It doesn't. I'm not haunted. Shake the dust from your feet and move on. You have such a beautiful life now. A blessed Easter to you and your family. 100%, dude. Like, Johnny's dad lost... I'm not going to get into detail, but you have to, that's how you forgive the people that have harmed you, as you start seeing what their life, what caused them to say something so terrible. And forgive, but don't forget. You don't have to forget. You don't need them in your life. But, dear Owen, it's been really great to watch your journey into the truth, and it's inspiring to see your courage to follow the truth in spite of all the obstacles and social pressures. I had been aware of the moon hoax for quite some time, but it was from watching your streams that I learned about the rest of the space hoax, the nuclear hoax, and the huge World War II lies. Thank you for sharing your insights. It was so refreshing to finally find a comedian commentator unapologetic for the truth. I am eternally grateful for that, the laughs, and your message about morality. Liberty can no more exist without virtue and independence than the body can live and move without a soul. John Adams. And bear in mind, to understand the Constitution, a constitution, like a constituency, is a group of people. The Constitution requires people with that constitution for it to work. Other than that, is a piece of paper that you can put in your anus to wipe it when you don't have toilet paper. The Constitution, the constituency, is the people. Your morality matters. Your morality matters. Your thoughts, your actions, your faith. Gratitude, joy, these things matter. And don't trust in things that you know hate you. Don't trust the government to save you. Don't trust the media to tell you the truth. And be thankful you're here. Your choices matter tremendously. But I'm writing to you to say that I'm sorry. I admit that I was suspicious of your Hollywood ties. Your story about not bowing to the pressures of the producers is encouraging. In the midst of the glut of immoral, soul-crushing programs. I learned about the trans culture in Hollywood and was shocked at how pervasive it is, and I admit I was among those who started questioning if you might be a 6'8" tranny. It's all right, I forgive you. I never meant to disparage anyone or cause any harm, it's fine. Dude, If you believed it, say it. Go with your gut. I respect people that say what they believe. If you believed I was a 6'8" tranny, great. And you said it, I respect that. And now that you no longer think that I'm a 6'8" tranny, you're saying that you were wrong. And I legitimately appreciate that. But the trans conspiracy was so traumatizing, you don't know what you can trust. I'm sorry again. Dude, I'm fine. I think it's funny. I think it's funny. And seeing how much you're willing to sacrifice to stand for what's true and stick to your morals just goes to show how wrong I was. Yeah, you thought there was a 6'8" tranny. It's all right. I've believed in some pretty crazy stuff. I hope you never stop pursuing the truth, the good, and the beautiful. What a lunatic. No, dude. I used to believe the media. That's way crazier than thinking I'm a big old bitch. I used to trust the television media. If you trust anything on that that lying square in your living room, you that's crazier than thinking I'm trans. I just wanted to ease your mind vaccinating your kids. You did everything right. A man named Vonderplants got a natural amount of vaccinations. Got an unnatural amount of vaccinations as a child and destroyed his health, his life. He was led to try the vegetarian lifestyle and saw healing. He found out that high carbs made him worse, so he stuck to the vegetarian lifestyle. Well, that lifestyle only worked for so long before things fell apart and he went to the vegan cult that only lasted a little while before his body was dying and was on death's doorstep. To make a long story short, he was led to eating raw meat to try and kill himself. He just wanted to end it. Well, it did the opposite, and in a short video, he was healthier and stronger than he'd ever been in his own life. Yeah. I mean, no offense, but I'm questioning your discernment of the videos you watch. He went on to teaching people they could reverse and cure. Well, I know you can cure with your adherence to God. That's pretty bad. All right. He went on to teaching people they could reverse and cure. The word cure still exists in the dictionary. Theirs or their kids' autism and vaccine damage, feeding them a diet high in animal fats. Well, I know that everything can be reversed, but take this with a grain of salt. This person thought I was a tranny. I used to believe taxes helped the country. Me too. Me too, buddy. Fat has a long history used as an antidote to poison. I agree. But vegetables also are a good antidote to some poisons. It's about balance, in my opinion. I mean, listen, I'm no Rhodes Scholar, so it means I'm definitely not a pedophile. He healed many people and even had success bringing people out of comas. So how does someone eat raw meat when they're in a coma? So you did everything right, and your kids should be recovered from any damage from the vaccines. You have nothing to worry about. So now we know why they demonize saturated fat and salts, unprocessed. Whatever they demonize, do. Saturated fat and salts, processed high mineral salt, they would have neutralized all the toxins, poisons, and everything. Right. Yeah, you know, good fats, good salts, good vegetables, good fruits. It's all good, man. It's all good. I really like eggs. Eggs is one of my favorite things to eat. To Owen Benjamin. Stay away from high fruit. Stay away from everything processed. Stay away from everything that's given to you by a corporation. It's not that complicated. It's really not that complicated. You know, get into like fastings and stuff like that, but there is no like one thing that cures everything except for God. Everything's decreed by one place, God. And when you feel the comfort of it, like the peace of it, you know, it's not about like, rah, I have to prove it to God with my green trim. Denmark Bear, thank you for more supplies to the front. Denmark Bear rules. Thank you, Denmark Bear. Save the green tips, boys. We're in for a wild ride. Oh, I just squirted again. The Tao of Health, Sex, and Longevity, a modern practical guide to the ancient way. Therapeutic foods. All right, I'll check that out. Let me read the letter. This is the last letter. Buy Grow Local. Yes, and be good to your neighbors. If your neighbor is growing something, buy it from them, even if it's more expensive. Yeah, but I can get a cheaper deal at Walmart. Squirting. Dear Owen, thanks for bringing us all along for the journey. This is wicked fun laughing and learning with legends among the Bears. I'm eternally grateful you introduced me to brutal crushes like Vox, Crow, E. Michael Jones, and the others. I hope this book provides you ladles of healing gravy. Oh, thank you very much. And I've just been texting with a new crusher, this dude James True. I was just listening to him talk about some esoteric magic bullshit, and I love his vibe. So we started. So my buddy reached out to him, and he was like, "Oh, sweet, I love Owen," you know. And so we just started texting. He's got some out there theories, but he's honest as the day. I can real recognizes real. He speaks from the gut, and so I'm gonna have him on to discuss stuff. Put the mask and gloves on so you don't get squirt all over yourself. Squirting. Talking about health and diet, get a book on health and diet. Typical. Oh, dude, welcome to my world. BB, people ask me how I lost so much weight, and I say I started eating food for a change. There it is. And only eat when you're hungry. It's not as easy as you make it look, Owen. Haha. Bruins Bear, you're in a timeout. Do you think my life has been easy, Bruins Bear? Owen, your life is so easy. Being attacked by the global cabal media complex as you were on the run from a town. I mean, listen, it's so easy squirting. I'm Bruins Bear squirting. Vegan social distance to avoid meat with an E. E-E meat. That's a good one, Eugenics Bear. All right, James True is gravy as hell. Yeah. Happy to hear that, Owen. He seems to free flow like you. Yeah. You can, dude, real recognizes real. There's a vibration. And that's why I don't. Esoteric magic bullshit, huh? Yeah, dude, it's all bullshit, but if people believe in it, there is a mana of belief. He's right. He knows how these people are trying to extract the lambs and the sacrifices and all this stuff. Like, this weekend could get wild. I think he meant you make it look effortless. It's not as easy for some of us. Oh, no, he implied that it's easy for me. He's just in a timeout. He's not banned. He has to sit and think. I've suffered a lot for my views and way of life. A tremendous amount of suffering. I'm now surrounded by the sound of birds and chickens and children giggling. Might freak people out. You're in a timeout. You're a gay guy. May freak people out. We're all traumatized children and grown-ups' bodies. I can't faith. It's like, okay, watching horror movies, pornography, that freaks out your brain. Your brain doesn't know the difference. Hearing the sound of a man try and teach you something, if that freaks you out, you're insane. And you got to stop squirting and crying and bitching and scaring yourself on purpose. Is there a book burning soon? Yes, I hope I will be doing a book burning soon. Nothing good comes easy. Crow thinks something will ratchet up this weekend. I tend not to ever think any, it's just the fact it's just seems so Passover-y right now, everything. But I tend not to assume things are going to happen, but things do feel very lamb to slaughtery. But I mean, who knows? Predictions are for homos. Predictions are for, but by the way, would you guys like to hear, it's not about predicting. It's about accurately describing the world around you. Would you like to hear how far? Because I don't post on Gab very much because I'm a social galactic kind of guy. But every now and then I do. So it's easy to look back like not that long ago. Okay. I said, I just caught Corona from Panda Express, General Tso's chicken. Symptoms include feeling fat and dumb. Bill Gates is on the case. He just gave me a shot, and now I have bizarre homoerotic urges and swollen breasts, which means the vaccine saved me. I'll keep you guys updated on our fight against the deadly pathogens. That was February 23rd. Okay. Fake disease loves election years, and since 88,000 people have died this year of alcohol, Corona is more deadly than Corona. February 28th. Corona has revolutionized bike theft. This is March 7th. And I did the picture of the two bike thieves in the masks. And then I said, proof, Corona has killed at least three people. These shoes mean someone used to wear them and are dead now. That was March 13th. March 15th, everyone keeps referencing Spanish flu. Did you know it killed mostly young men? Elderly saw no rise in mortality. What do we know about young men in 1918? First mass vaccination for World War I. I can't think of another explanation that makes sense since the flu also started on a military base in Kansas. Pregnant women and young men were almost all the fatalities. Men who got fluid injected and women who got fluid injected were the only ones who died. March 15th. March 16th. All right. Urban elites still think I'm a bigot, racist, homophobe, white trash Nazi for having one of these AR-15s. But why need a gun when we have cops? That's like saying, why need a voice when you have the media? March 19th. So just to give you a little backstory, when you're going to go on these other sites and they're going to... Just know I never fell for it. CDC states that all unoccupied shoes should be counted as corona. Right. No one would be... There's no value when people just scare you. And it's one thing to be wrong. I'm wrong sometimes. But when it comes to this type of stuff, and there could be, this weekend, there could be something that does a lot of real damage, and they'll blame it on Kurenu, and then people will get scared, and they'll beg for their own enslavement. I get it. They shall not break my skin barrier. That's it. Right. Exactly. I walked into a shoe store. Must have been the slaughter. Right. James True thinks the Red Cross ships Mercy and Comfort are the next 9/11. Yeah, I mean, he's got some good points. And so I'm going to have him on. You know, Boaz and who's the other guy? The two towers in Freemasonry? Dude, it's all so gay. It's all so gay. But the two ships, and then in between is America. Mercy and Comfort. You know, I think this weekend could get a little wild. And I think that, I don't know though. Hopefully not. God willing. It's all God's choice regardless. Just do your best. Keep our warrior-aged men at home defending their family and soil. It's not going to be violence. They can't. It doesn't fit ritual. Ritual, you have to do it yourself. They can't. It's not about homicide. That's why so many people's fears, Joaquim and Boaz, yeah. So many people's fears are so unjustified because the evil needs the vacant. They need you to give up, and then you have to do it yourself. Trust me, guys, I've been attacked by evil a lot. my mom is coming to visit me. Yay, good, good. Tom, I'm not getting on a train or a boat. Great. Headed to my parents right now. The roads are packed. No one is putting up with the shelter and BS anymore. Right. You know, I believe that the shelter in place thing, if you are just sitting there for weeks on end, not doing what you would have done anyway, it's a consent to the power of government. It is just a theory. I don't know. And, you know, we'll see what Passover brings. And I just think that you should rejoice in the beautiful spring air. 2020 has been full of comedy material. Yes, it has. The obsession for symbolism is pretty gay. It's beyond. Hug your neighbor. Or just not. I've never hugged Ryan. I'm not going to hug Ryan. I've never hugged Phil. I've never hugged Jason. So I'm not going to start hugging dudes because of this. I'm just not going to change. Isn't a gay cruise really just a tugboat? Good one, Eugenics Bear. 9/11 tested our resistance to one, pride, and two, wrath. I wonder if they'll test our sloth now with comfort. Good thoughts, kind and Ozo. Thank goodness the government is here to save it. Right, just like these urban Amish, those Jews. The beauty of those Jews is they simply weren't acknowledging the authority. They were still working with it, though. They were just like, 20 minutes? Sloth and two, gluttony could be the test for 311. I don't know. Yeah, get your neighbor toilet paper. Yeah, give your neighbor eggs. Like, see how they're doing. Drop something off. If they want social distance, give it to them. The key, dude, like trying to scare people out of it doesn't work. It only puts them deeper into the trance. Like if someone's like a big fat whale smoking cigarettes, but they then put their mask on, they're like, eh. Like some people have the instinct to scare them out of it and be like, Corona. Don't do that. Give them their space. Acknowledge their, the only thing that spiritually we're not allowed to do is mess with other people. So if you do that, you give up some of your freedom. You know, if someone wants 6 feet of space, give them that. If someone wants to hug you and you want to hug them, hug. That's it. People have a right to want 6 feet of space. So don't break that and inflict your worldview on other people, or else you have entered into the satanic contract yourself. You understand? It's very interesting when you see it. The symbolism is so nuts. I see it in my own old art, Rabbled Architects. It's an interesting time. We're growing and baking and trading with friends and community. That's, dude, that's it, Crow Bear. That's it. Grow out of this. 80% grow, 20% decay. 80-20. 10 friends within 10 miles. Not only will this be a wonderful time, there could be some real loss. There could not be. There's going to be a lot of growth. And this, in the end, is God's plan. So trust the plan of God. All right, I got to get out of here. Pointing and laughing is not the way either. It pushes them further out of spite. Yeah, yeah, it's not the way. Don't point and laugh. Just simply exist. Be like Obi-Wan and that little gamma there, Skywalker, when it's like, these are not the droids you're looking for. Just keep your, you know, just be in the world but not of it. Pointing and laughing is not good. That is not helpful. That only pushes them down. You know, it's one thing if you do it on your live stream in person like that. You know, because on a live stream, someone could have this, they can feel safe. So they can watch me and I can make fun of them and they can slowly realize, you know, the mockery helps them. But if in person, if you do that, they will register it as a threat. They will get more scared and fear is the mind killer. And so they then go down. Simply exist in a way that is good and fearless, and they will be drawn to you. Doing another outing at a different place, friends. None of us are buying the BS. It's quite wonderful. Right, right. I love that. The other road that's bad is you don't buy the BS, but you want to actively, like, freak out. You know, thanks, man. That's another bad road. Just simply do, just don't acknowledge the authority outside of God. Deal with it. Respect the authority of man. Respect the thoughts of others. Respect the desires of others. And just keep crushing. And faith and crushing. And happy Good Friday, everybody. Happy Easter weekend. Really take this time to enjoy time with family. All right. I'm landing the plane now. Only one true plan, God's. Yes. Only one plan. Trust in God. Obey God. Have gratitude towards God. And all these storylines are going to try and spook you, but just, it only reinforces God. COVID-19 certificate of vaccination identification 2019. Right, and the way this all works, I'm just going to acknowledge this real quick. Yeah, COVID-19 was first proposed by Bill Gates in November of 2019, certificate of vaccination identification, right? You can then look that up and say, oh no, COVID is the type of, it's only to divide. It's like you're going to get a million storylines, a million. There's only one that you should care about. Truth. God's plan. There's going to be a million. It's just like 9/11. There's going to be a never-ending amount of spook stories. And never, you know, Coronis is the mother of the god of medicine in ancient, you know, there's so many of them. 19 hijacked, 19, oh, 19 this, oh, 19 that, 2009. It's like they're in place just to trap your mind between the two towers. Mercy, comfort, mercy, comfort. Joaquin Boaz. Then you're right in the middle, right with a bang. So is it Bill Gates's or is it, dude, it's just enjoy the day. Because I'm starting to see how these things work. That's why I want James Truon to explain black magic, not to practice it. And by the way, if you're scared of listening to him, it means you probably, I'm not going to judge you, but it's like, Trust me, I've never read a Black Magic book. I don't want a lot of these things in my head. But at this point, you should understand the esoteric nature of the occult that is doing a lot of crazy stuff. So he's going to help explain a lot of how this stuff works. Permission granted to hug any cunt that calls you an Easter worshiper. My son had a dream this morning that is that I don't know what to tell you. Truth, Big Bear, yeah. Deep thoughts with Big Bear, yes. Time to soar with the wings of the eagles. At that angle, Red Pill Rooster looks the size of an alpaca. That would be scary. Right, do you know how they created dinosaurs? They just looked at chickens and said, that could be a terrifying dinosaur. They have the same feed, everything. They're like, no, 66 million years ago. Thank you, Red Pill Rooster. I know you're not a dinosaur. All right, so if you want to support the chat, P.O. Box 727, Gig Harbor, Washington, 98335. Live like you'll have a long, prosperous life, but be prepared to go anytime to meet your maker, and it would be a glorious day. But stop living for, like, plant trees, make friends, understand health, read books, because if not, you will be in a perpetual state. You know, some people say be in the moment. Don't always be in the moment. If you're always in the moment, you're like, right now I feel. Hugs, not tugs. Thank you, Eugenics Bear. All right, guys. P.O. Box 727, Gig Harbor, Washington, 98335. Unauthorized.tv. Go check out Chuck Dixon's comics that he's doing with Vox Day. Support those guys. Unbearablesmerchandise.com. Bitchute.com/OwenBenjaminComedy. DLive.tv/OwenBenjaminComedy. Find all the clips channels on YouTube. Subscribe to them. Support them. You know, Papa J Bear's channels, everybody's channels. Go find them. I no longer verbally promote them here, but go find them. Subscribe. If they get canceled, find the next one. Subscribe. Life is a fun journey. Much love, you guys. All right. Be fruitful, multiply. Don't be fruity and boil guy. Bye.